You're listening to J-Fabe. So we've got lots to talk about this week. Some of the stuff that we were going to talk about last week, but we didn't get the recording right. Some new stuff. As always, I'm joined by Jay.
Some stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about loads of stuff.
We've done this, this a few times.
Yeah, we're on episode 79 or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Which is kind of good for us. You know?
It's on the countdown.
Ooh.
Are you going to play the final countdown on the 99th episode at the end?
Ooh, maybe. Maybe. Could do all sorts with that.
Yeah, like start a story or something.
Start some kind of story? What, for 100th episode? You're like, God damn it, Rich, start a fucking story already.
Well, no, I'm not. But I'm just imagining where you would probably fit one in.
Well, I could fit one in anywhere, couldn't I? You could already be going.
You could be.
I do have a reputation for being the story man.
The story man.
Yeah. Cider. I'm drinking cider, Jay. What are you drinking?
The legendary Tanglefoot.
Ooh, legendary Tanglefoot. I've got some Henry Weston old style going off.
Okay. I think you need to branch out a little bit, mate.
Well, I can only get the cider I can get, mate.
you need to get some deliveries on the go.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I am thinking about it, but
Amazon's got some.
Yeah, I know they have. Yeah, I've been looking at them. But there's loads of local. There's loads of local Hucknall cideries. Do they call them cideries?
No, I don't think so.
If you're listening to us from the US of A, cider is alcoholic in the UK. It's not just apple juice.
Yeah. So hard cider, basically.
Yeah, hard cider as you'd call it. So there you go. A bit of education for our 81% of listeners who are over in the US of A. Hello! Keeping it British here today.
Hello from Nottingham.
Hello from Nottingham, yes.
And that isn't why we're playing country music.
That isn't why we're playing country music, no. We're playing this because, of course, there is the recent news from Jay that they're thinking of getting Sean Waltman into AEW.
They've been trying. They've just been saying that the timing's been off, like, each time. They wanted to be a trainer.
How can the timing be off with the backstage?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's what people say when they don't want to do it. Oh, the time is just off. I've got this going on. I've got 4 podcasts to do. You know, my time's kind of filled up. I've got my children.
I
need to see them now. You know. You know, all that stuff. All that Xbox stuff. See? All the Xbox stuff.
Yeah. So that was the B Plus Players. Their song X-Puck. We listened to 5 wrestling albums a couple of weeks ago, and the B Plus Players came out as the best ones.
It did. The second album, first album's fucking gash.
Yeah, the first album was absolutely fucking crap. Apart from that song X-Puck, which appears on the first album.
On the first album,
the highlight of it. The second album was more straight through and through, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Just spot on. I mean, there was Mega Ram as well. He did fairly good. The one that my brother recommended was... I keep mentioning my brother on this podcast, and now everyone thinks it's going to be a character. bollocks.
Non-kayfabe brother.
Yeah, my non-kayfabe brother. He's like, what was that one that I can't even remember the name of the band now.
Intensely Staring Frontman.
Oh,
that's what it's called.
Just completely fucking lost it. Well, they were okay. They weren't great.
I was
Hail to the Champ. That was it. That was what it was called. Hail to the Champ.
Yeah.
Hail to the Champ.
Yeah.
Let's just see what the band was called.
Dead Lucha song was a bit weird.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, if that's what the Jam's to, then that's great for him. But it's just not my kind of thing.
Still can't get the name of that album. Beat the Champ. There we go. It was called Beat the Champ, and it was by the Mountain Goats. And yeah, I mean, the lyrics were too on the nose, weren't they?
I say too on the nose. I just mean whole.
Well, I mean, like, give you an example. Their song about Bruiser Brody. Was for instance called Stabbed to Death Outside San Juan, and that's the most metaphorical thing about it is the title. Like, it was just a description of, you know, it
do
was
not
basically
segue from that. Do not segue.
Yeah, I won't. So yeah, it was just a bit really tempted, but I'm not going to. Anyway, moving on. So, speaking of people jumping from one ship to the other, the big news out today, which seems to be setting the internet wrestling community on fire, is that WWE are very interested in Hook.
I sort of saw a headline of that. And yeah. The headline was like, and Taz wants him to go in the future.
Yeah, pretty much. Taz wants him there earlier rather than later. Taz would rather that Hook was in that environment, which I think, considering how Hook's been used, I could understand that, because he's obviously a very popular individual, a lot more popular than AEW are booking him to be, if that makes sense.
And now it's just Jungle Boy's henchman, I guess, in a kind of face kind of way.
I mean, in some way, I don't know how much of this is going to be Taz thinking that his boy's ready to move, you know, into mid-card on WWE, or how much of it is, you know, how much of Hook's underexposure is the fact that he's just not ready yet. But
I hope they flip the script and they just switch him to heel. And beat the shit out of Jungle Boy and have an actual program with him instead of just hanging out.
I mean, that would be good. I think a heel Hook would be hard to achieve. And if I was booking that, I'd kind of be in the mindset of, could this accidentally end up being a heel turn for Jungle Boy? Because Hook's so popular. And his look is so much more refined than Jungle Boy's. His personality is so much... His charisma is so much more evident than Jungle Boy's. Like, could this end up being a bit of a situation where it's an attempt to turn Hook and just doesn't work? You know? That would be my concern in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. It's not probably the best time to turn Hook, because carrying the match might be difficult for him. We've seen him with weapons. He's not very good with those yet. So if he's going to go a heel route and he had to beat the Jungle Boy down, fucking smash his face in with a weapon, it'd probably go a bit shit, to be fair.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe I'm just going to completely contradict myself and just go back on that.
It's interesting because we still know so very little about Hook, considering that obviously his debut was nearly 3 years ago. You know, so who knows? Who knows which way this could go? But we don't know how long his contract length is either. So there's no actual speculation when a jump to WWE could happen.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting as well.
Speaking of Jungle Boy, who and Hook will be in his corner, I mean, recently on the last episode of Dynamite, Sonata put out an open challenge. Jungle Boy has answered that challenge, so it's going to be Jungle Boy versus Sonata for the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Heavyweight thingy.
And I think that's a good piece of booking that is.
Is it?
I feel it is. I feel Sonata.
I feel like that might be one of the weakest matches on the card.
Yeah, but I mean, Sonata's not as popular over here as he is in Japan. You know, in Japan, his level of fame is similar to that of a Shawn Michaels kind of living legend status. Whereas over here, I think because a lot of the people who got into Japanese wrestling probably got into Japanese wrestling within the last 5 to 10 years in the West. Well, particularly within the last 5 years, I don't think his profile means as much in the UK.
I'm more for Sonata.
Sorry?
I mean, Sonata always puts on great matches. I mean, his style has completely switched now, he's champion. Which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like Sonata. I think he's very, very talented. I'm just very aware that, you know, he couldn't main event a card in the West when Okada and, you know, similar acts from New Japan Pro Wrestling are available. I think is my thoughts. You know, Okada, Will Ospreay. You know, so I think it's probably the right position for him to be on that card. If that makes sense. I would say that Jungle Boy.
They need to prove me wrong, because you know, I'm up there in the business. They need to prove my opinion
wrong.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's all about you and obviously your experience.
Exactly.
You know, that's what happens when you cultivate a culture of individualism along with fandom, as we do with wrestling, sci-fi, all of the other various things that people become fans of. They feel very entitled. So I think you're entitled to see a good match there, Jay.
Thanks, Reg. Thanks. I hope they know that.
They better.
I'm going to come for him if not.
Exactly. So with that said, I think one of the interesting things that I WhatsApped it to you a few days ago were those images of the Collision ticket sales, which are doing absolutely appallingly. So it's what are your thoughts on this? Because obviously, I mean, Chicago did really well.
Pretty obvious that was going to do well. CM Punk, of course.
Exactly. But then after that, there's a massive drop-off.
I mean, there's still time for them to sell. Maybe they'll sell more tickets whilst, you know, they're in Canada. Maybe.
I mean, potentially, but I mean, it's not looking good. I mean, just for context for our readers, this is confirmed by Wrestling Tix, which is a tickets.
Just announced Bret Hart for like all the shows, and then they'll just sell some tickets.
Maybe that's or Owen Hart. You know, obviously he's due a comeback.
Yeah, that works.
Well, I mean, he's obviously signed because he's going to be in the new Fight Forever game.
Yeah,
I'm of course.
Yeah,
I'm
totally.
I'm of course joking. I'm not kayfabing either.
What about Bruce Hart?
Wasn't he a fireman?
He knows how to wrestle. He could do a match.
Oh dear me! I'm just surprised that we never saw Beans Hart get involved, or any of Brett's kids or anything. Well, actually, I'm not surprised considering how Brett kind of views the whole wrestling industry. So, yeah.
I mean,
just a bit strange that there's not very many hearts left in wrestling.
Well, you never know. Teddy Hart might have a kid.
Yeah, true. So, Chicago, Illinois, 8,437 tickets sold. That's the opening show of AEW Collision. But then the Canada dates, Toronto, Ontario, just 1,871 tickets. Hamilton, Ontario, 883 tickets the following week. And then Regina in Nova Scotia, 1,353. I mean, after that, you got Calgary, Alberta, and Newark, New Jersey, both kind of sitting around the 3,000 to 4,000 mark, which is expected in those areas. But at the same time, it's not looking very good.
I mean, with New Jersey, shouldn't MJF be pulling in fans since he's a champion?
Yeah, and I think
close to New York, so that should probably pull a few fans in. But you know, there's still time for that one.
Yeah, and there's always a big show in New Jersey. Everyone loves going out and cheering for MJF anyway. So I wouldn't expect anything less than that to be pretty much full house, to be honest. Eventually. Especially considering that they're booking kind of smaller arenas at the moment. They're booking, you know, rather than going for the 10,000 seater arenas, they're going for the 5,000 seater arenas, which is something that they're doing a good job of hiding on television. But they have been doing that for quite a while now with their, especially with their one-shot shows, like the dual shows with Rampage and Battle of the Belts.
Yeah.
But also some of the little bits and bobs as well, the occasional Dynamite and Rampage are taking place in kind of 7,000 seaters or 6,000 seaters rather than the 10,000 seaters that they're obviously raving about filling up. But there is definitely a kind of downward trend on their domestic ticket sales, and that doesn't necessarily bode well, and that's a concern. I mean, they've obviously got to be feeling that concern.
Well, I would imagine they are, but apparently the last Dynamite was one of the best that's been on in a while. So hopefully with Tony Khan not booking shitloads of shows, apart from this one too, concentrate on the booking between Dynamite and Collision, because obviously you can pull stories into Collision as well and carry those on, and might be even able to like finish those quicker. And then bring in more wrestlers and have a bit of a cycle going off of who is on TV, or giving more TV time for stories to actually make sense. I mean, there's potential there.
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, a lot of people said that we'd see an improvement in the booking style of Dynamite and Rampage after Tony Khan handed off the booking to Stokely Hathaway. But it does seem Fightful.
And Jerry Lynn.
This week said. And Jerry Lynn. But this week, Fightful said that Tony Khan is still booking ROH, even though he's already got established bookers in. Which. Kind of feels a little bit McMahon-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. He needs to let go. He shouldn't have brought ROH.
He kind of does.
Should not have brought
it. He shouldn't have.
If he was going to bring a new TV show in for AEW, he shouldn't have brought ROH.
Yeah, I feel that he would have been better off. I feel that he would have been better off kind of.
Why do you think that taking was a good deal?
Well, obviously, he obviously felt that the video library was quite important.
Yeah, you know, I mean, take the video library, yeah, of course, but use that on AEW. Add it to a streaming service to give it a bit more backbone, a bit more of history of the wrestling business, of the wrestlers that are in AEW.
Yeah, but definitely.
Running the company still. Such a bad business decision, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, what confuses me is if you're going to buy up that company and give people options into a contract like he did with the performers when he made that deal, why not get a TV deal for ROH, not have Collision, and have ROH replace Dark and Dark Elevation? You know, and have that as the feeder. Use the NXT WWE model. Why not? That would make sense. But what instead we've got is we've got this weird kind of hybrid where sometimes ROH wrestlers are involved in feuds with AEW wrestlers. But if you want to see them regularly, you've got to watch ROH. It's on a separate streaming platform to AEW. Which makes very little sense. There's no TV deal for ROH in the UK. And now he's adding a third show to an already bloated lineup, I feel. it's very confusing business strategy. It's almost like he's overexposing his own company.
It's exactly what he's doing, and it's generally going to be the downfall of it.
I feel it could be. I very much feel it could be. I mean, I was excited to have 2 hours of American wrestling on ITV, but now there's going to be 4 hours a week on ITV in the UK, which I feel is very, very strange.
Is Rampage still happening?
Yeah, Rampage is still happening. So you're going to have Dynamite.
Why not just make Rampage 2 hours?
Well, exactly. You're going to have Dynamite on Fridays in the UK. You're going to have Rampage on Sundays. And then you're going to have Collision on Wednesdays, which, first off, seems fucking ridiculous anyway.
It is, yeah. Like,
yeah, why would you do that when you can just have it live and then replays? You know, it's ITV4 for fuck's sake. All they're doing is showing reruns of Dick Tracy and Midsummer Murders, right?
Probably.
Like, yeah, Coronation Street Omnibus for the umpteenth time. Who cares? So, yeah, it's a very peculiar business strategy. I'm not quite sure what to think of it at this stage. I mean, maybe he can make it work.
Well, let's hope that can be a thing that does happen, but it's not looking good. Let's put it that way. It really isn't.
Yeah, it definitely looks like he's on shaky ground at the moment, doesn't it?
But at least you know they're having 5-star matches.
Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, bell to bell, the product's good, and obviously people are still getting 5 stars from, you know, the various wrestling press. As one of the alumni of AEW this week managed twice.
I don't think it was this week. I think it was more like last week.
But Jay, jump in.
I think it was last week. It was Moxley.
Okay.
He got his 5th 5-star match, and he got 2 in 12 days. Which is pretty good, to be fair, if you think about it. I mean, one of the matches was in Japan. It was the 6-man tag. Mm. Wasn't on AEW, yeah. But he is an AEW contracted wrestler.
Yeah, of course. And it was a good match as well. This is the 6-man tag at Dominion in their double main event. I believe it was
Mox, Claudio, Shota versus Okada, Tanahashi, and Ishii.
Thank you very much. That saved me having to Google it, as I watch so much wrestling. I can't always remember who I'm watching. And with
I think that's the problem, yep.
Oh, dear me. So yeah, I'm totally into Moxley's matches at the moment. I think the direction that they've gone by making the Blackpool Combat Club super heel, I think it's a really good move as well. And Brian Danielson's the perfect mouthpiece for them when they're in that mode.
When he gets his words right, yeah.
Whereas, yeah, when he gets his words right, of course. I suppose a lot of people criticise Wheeler Yuta as kind of the weakest link. What are your thoughts on Wheeler Yuta?
I mean, that's just storyline-wise, but they've been letting him be the guy who gets the pin. So it seems like they're switching the story a bit from where he was like the young lion kind of guy, the junior of the Blackpool Combat Club, and now he's the one pinning because, obviously, Moxley and Claudio don't need to be the one pinning because they're building a new star, so let him take the win. It makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I think I'm more kind of saying that.
But, yeah, no,
a lot of people.
I don't see why, because he is a solid wrestler and he fits and he makes sense. So I don't understand why people would be.
I'm kind of there too. That's kind of my thoughts on it. I feel that he's a bit of a charisma vacuum at times, but I feel that the Blackpool Combat Club are enhancing him in that way. And then I think the only real people who seem to be criticizing him for the amount of exposure he's getting are people who are saying along the lines of, oh, well, while Wheeler Yuta's doing this, Miro or Powerhouse Hobbs or XYZ are in the back doing nothing. You know, and it's those kind of people. Yeah, so it does kind of feel that
Wheeler Yuta almost a better wrestler than Hobbs.
Yeah, and I feel that he's a better fit. I think what I'm more kind of saying is that a lot of people are kind of resentful that there isn't a more established star in that position. I know Powerhouse Hobbs was a bad example, but you know, a Miro or Eddie Kingston or you know, just somebody who's been with the business for a longer time than Wheeler Yuta. But I do feel that he actually makes perfect sense.
It is funny that you mentioned Eddie Kingston, because in the latest episode he came out and confronted Claudio after the 6-man tag, Hung Books versus Blackpool Combat Club.
He did, didn't he? It was quite a well received segment overall.
Yeah, with John Moxley in his face but not actually putting his hands on him. So that could be interesting. The fact that John Moxley won't fight Kingston.
Yeah, and seeing those kind of dynamics, I mean, definitely I do like AEW for that, in that there are unique interpersonal dynamics that you don't necessarily get in other products. You certainly don't get it in WWE. Two wrestlers will have a feud. They'll complete that feud, and then their memories will be wiped when they go on to their next feud, and if they interact again in the future, they just pretend that they've never had a feud. You know, that those issues don't come bubbling up. That doesn't happen in AEW. There's complex relationships between everybody because of the long-term storytelling aspect, and it is one thing that I do feel they get spot on, and and that is a great example of it as well. That's a classic example of long-term AEW storytelling.
Just got to pull in those ticket sales.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. And part of that is to stop overexposing themselves. It really is. You know, this year's going to have 6 pay-per-views rather than their usual 4. Plus special events, like I'm sure Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen will happen again.
You know. Yeah, but these not mistake of like Dynamite, don't they? So yes.
Yeah, but when you look at the actual booking of them and how they kind of build to them, they do feel almost like free pay per views.
Yeah.
Particularly winter is coming.
It is a free pay per view, so I mean it's good they do that. I mean they do have their pay per views at like $50 a pop, so I mean maybe, you know, viewers do deserve some free pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, thank God we're where we are, right?
Yeah, £20 a pop, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, it's not really a problem here, which is nice, especially considering what an absolute shit show the last pay-per-view was.
Oh, that was awful.
It was a really bad pay-per-view.
But you can't get everyone right. Let's just hope it doesn't become a trend.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, speaking of pay-per-views, or more accurately, premium live events, we are getting closer and closer to Money in the Bank, which has had a couple of extra matches kind of announced for it this week, hasn't it?
Has it?
I think so. Well, I mean, considering that the last show that we did didn't actually make air, I mean, we could actually technically just talk about all 4 matches if you want. Do you?
Do you want to do that? Or do you want to talk about something else, Jay?
Yeah. I mean, I've got it in front of me. So, I mean, all 6 members, all 8. Is it 8? 6? 6. 6? 7? 6. There we go. All 6 participants of the Money in the Bank have been announced. We've got Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, and Damian Priest. That's going to be a good match, I feel.
It's going to be a great match. All ex-NXT. I mean, kind of build new star feel.
Yeah.
LA Knight's pipped to be the winner still. There's also a rumour floating around that Drew McIntyre may be a surprise entrant and may take it.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that could happen. I mean, if they want to make it an eight-way, obviously Sheamus has recently bitched about not being part of the Money in the Bank as well, in kayfabe, obviously. They could make it an eight-way anyway.
Yeah, but he may be facing Austin Theory again, so...
Fair play, but no, I think you are right about that. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, you may have seen the exact same kind of six-way ladder match on the indies with all of these people in it, bar LA Knight, of course. And
why bar LA Knight?
You know, people... just because he wasn't really... I don't know, I just didn't see much of him.
I mean, that's a really good way of putting it. I never saw any of his stuff, so I just assumed that he was never there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm aware that...
You remember Sanchez Escobar, right?
Yeah.
Like what he was doing on the indies?
Yeah, wasn't he Top Secret?
What?
I mean, King Kerno. No, I'm just reading Wikipedia now. But yeah, I mean, I believe he was in Lucha Underground, obviously.
El Fantasma, he was basically, the name of the faction was basically his name.
Okay.
Yeah, he was in Lucha Pro Wrestling. He always put one of the best matches on the card.
Oh, he was El Hijo de Fantasma?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I do know him then.
Yeah.
I hate when mass people change their names.
I take the maths off.
Gets confusing. But yeah, no, I mean, this has fucking... This is like... Forget, the side is doing well. This has fucking banger written all over it, though, doesn't it?
It does have a banger written all over it. Match of the night? Possibly. Maybe. Probably. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always all for seeing Pete Dunne in a fucking ladder match anyway. You know. Because I feel it's one thing that you don't see much of him in.
Surprise. So, Butch wins. That'd be good.
Yeah. It'd be great. That'd be perfect. But, yeah, we all know it's going to be Ricochet, right?
Yeah. Rick and Knight, yeah.
Oh, dearie. This is, of course, the women's version of that match, which, of course, currently Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Io Sky, and To Be Decided.
Well.
Who do you reckon is taking it home?
To Be Decided.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be To Be Decided as well. Whenever whoever it is wins, we're just going to be like, called it.
Again.
After that, we've got Dominic Rhodes. Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. Although now I'm thinking how cool it would be to see a Dominic Rhodes kind of promo. That'd work quite well. Cody Rhodes being imitated by Dominic Mysterio. But yeah, anyway, Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley. Versus Cody Rhodes in a singles match. Cody Rhodes' trajectory since WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on this, Jay?
Brock's having a rest until SummerSlam. Needed to put Cody on the card. Dominic was doing nothing. Cody Rhodes likes to work with younger talent. There you go. He probably requested it.
He probably did. I don't know. There are a lot of people who say that this is a bit of a step down for him, and those many people are me. But then
Dominic's a complete heat magnet, so why not have a heat magnet against someone who gets...
It does make sense from that perspective, yeah.
Who has a face and gets cheered all the time. So,
yeah. Who is very, very over.
Classic wrestling story. People boo you, people cheer me.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'd say it's even more kind of a... It's more kind of a compliment to Dominic Mysterio in regards to how he's got over, rather than a kind of slight on Cody booking this match.
Yeah, I think people have got to really look at that and really think about it. If they're trying to build new stars and Dominic Mysterio is doing what he's doing and he's getting over, then why not?
Yeah. Yeah, and he is getting over. He is probably one of the most talked about wrestlers in WWE on social media who hasn't been part of the Bloodline feud. Yeah, no, makes perfect sense. He's very memeable as well.
Yeah, I think of the bigger picture. I think that's what people miss sometimes.
Yeah, very much so. And then, of course, we got Seth Frickin' Rollins Rose, versus Finn Balor. Yeah, not a big fan.
No, not really.
Wow, don't be too harsh or you'll make him cry.
He doesn't do that anymore, he gets angry. He doesn't talk about his dad. So, you know.
Oh, well. One day I'll finish that story, I'm sure.
And you know, maybe. Don't forget he's got, still got a broken arm. So.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Seth Frickin' Rollins versus Finn Balor, singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay, so you could do Damian Priest is the winner of the ladder match, cashes in on whoever wins, possibly Seth Rollins, and then takes the title.
Yeah.
Could do that, yeah. Could go down that route, they could...
See, I would like a more kind of car crash telly kind of angle where Damian Priest, say, wins it, and then, you know, you have the final match, and then you cut to, like, a hotel room, and Roman Reigns is just kind of chilling, playing, like, Madden, and then Damian Priest just kind of breaks in, challenges into a match, and pins him 1-2-3 hardcore title style. You know, that'd be cool.
I mean, that'd be cool, but yeah. Just think outside the box, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
He could just add himself to the match.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think if somebody was going to do the Money in the Bank on Seth Rollins, I think that they'd want it to rhyme with Seth Rollins' historic Money in the Bank cash in at WrestleMania 33. So I think that's what they'd go for would be kind of Seth Rollins in a match with, say, Brock Lesnar or somebody who he is greatly outclassed by, just as he's getting the advantage, and then somebody cashes in on him completely unexpectedly because everyone's forgotten about it. I feel that they wouldn't have him cash in on Seth frickin' Rollins unless they were doing something that poetically reflected that moment, if that makes sense.
Well, wouldn't Money in the Bank be a perfect opportunity to do that then?
I mean, potentially, although Rollins... Yeah, I suppose. In my head, it was always a case of Rollins would be chasing the title if that ever happened to him. So I suppose, yeah,
he's
no,
got a film to
work.
Film.
Yeah, that's true.
It's now called Brave New World, not New World Order.
Brave New World.
Captain America, Brave New World.
Yes, Captain America, Brave New World. Obviously, the reasoning behind Disney's renaming of that film is pretty obvious when you really think it. Well, if they say... It's one of those things where they'll automatically turn off, like, some of their audience by calling it New World Order because of all of the conspiracy theory surrounding New World Order.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people will. There are certain countries where they have on the international market, where the New World Order conspiracy theory is like an entire political party's platform.
China.
Exactly. So it wouldn't play well in parts of the world like that. So Brave New World, probably a better name for them. A bit more marketable, a lot less crazies kind of pointing at it and saying, you see?
I knew Disney was taking over.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And then you find out that Mickey Mouse is Hulk Hogan.
Mickey Mouse was always Hulk Hogan.
You're just like, did you not know, Jay?
Yeah, exactly. Always was. Always was. So what are your thoughts on Seth Rollins' acting ability?
I mean, I've not seen him in a film, but his
I've seen him in backstage segments
and being
though.
Able to play different characters, he does quite well with that, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, as long as they all have voices like that.
Is he crashing cars now? Sorry, he killed you.
Hey, it's me, Seth Rollins. How are you doing? Seth Rollins, brilliant.
That's how he sounds.
Yeah, nailed it. Oh, dearie. I don't think he'll be that good. But, I mean, if he's playing a villain...
He is playing a villain.
Exactly. Then it's a Marvel villain, so you don't actually have to do much to act as a Marvel villain. You just kind of pose a bit, wander around a bit like you own the place, and then you get like a monologue or two to explain your origins, and then someone kills you. So, yeah, there is that.
You might get a fight scene.
Well, we all know he can do that, to be fair. How many of his signature moves do you think they'll shoehorn in?
I guess that stomp will definitely be in there. That's the easiest one to really throw in, isn't it?
I think if there is a stomp, I don't think he'll actually get to do it. I think it'll be either a stomp tease, or it'll be like a super-powered stomp with jet boots or something. It won't be just a straight stomp.
I mean, he's not playing his actual character. It's his heel character that he's had on WWE, where he's just going to like fly around with a jetpack laughing and stomping on people.
Well, I kind of feel that that would be... that's kind of what I'm expecting, if I'm brutally honest. He's just like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it's going to be like that, mate. I think he's playing a serpent. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he might not even have feet to stomp with.
Well, he does. He's still a human.
Oh. Well, that's a bit of a false advertisement, isn't it?
Cool. Let's move from Marvel.
Oh dearie. I haven't actually been watching much of the recent Marvel stuff actually.
Oh, most of it's shit.
If I'm honest. I'm kind of got a bit of hope for Secret Invasion.
Yeah, me too. That looks good. Possibly that does Loki look good. Season 2. Should be pretty good because obviously the whole Kang thing. Spoilers for anyone that doesn't know about Kang, but you know, you should do by now.
Of course.
I watched Ant-Man recently. Last 40 minutes was great. The rest of it was absolutely fucking awful.
Was it?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about Quantumania and watching that, but the last real Marvel thing I watched was She-Hulk, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but
I don't get on with that.
You know, I didn't. It's a lot easier to enjoy if you forget that it's Marvel.
Okay, but then you've got Daredevil in there as well, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, yeah.
To forget that it's Marvel with a green woman. It's in court.
Mm. I also really like courtroom stuff, so that helped.
I'm assuming it did. did it do it for you? Like just Judy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a massive fan of Judge Judy, as you know.
Yeah.
I feel that she is like the ultimate TV heel. But yeah, no, that Marvel has gone from kind of much must-watch cinema to kind of being a bit meh.
Straight to streaming because there's no point. But apparently this phase is just gets to the next phase, which is meant to be epic, so... It's all filler, basically.
Yeah.
Filler for the Kang story.
Yeah, I mean, it is mostly just trying to establish the concept of a multiverse, isn't it? Rather than anything else, so... Yeah.
I mean, hopefully the new... Doctor Strange will be good. They're normally good films.
Doctor Strange is usually a bit of a dead cert. And
Deadpool 3 has been moved up. Captain America has been moved into Deadpool's old slot in August, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, though, Deadpool is a bit of a weird one because it operates kind of independently to the main MCU canon, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they explain that in the new movie and how they're going to pull people out of the Fox universe into the Marvel universe. That's what's happening. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I assumed it would. But apparently,
because of the writing strikes, Ryan Reynolds hasn't been able to do his normal ad-libbing and changing the script on the fly. He's got to stick to the script because writers get pissed off and shit. So it might actually be that good.
Hmm. We'll have to see how it goes then, really, won't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping that Deadpool 3 is pretty much what that last Spider-Man movie was.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of pull the legacy X-Men universe into the MCU, have a big bash. Everyone goes home happy kind of thing. I think that would probably work. You definitely have to get Patrick Stewart involved, though.
I think he is going to be.
That's our wrestling podcast, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm joking.
So apparently, speaking of people who like to act, CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
Segment CM Punk.
What's he going to act as? A douche?
Pretty much. Apparently, a ESPN... interview with Punk is dropping either today or tomorrow. Talking about how he's going to give the version of his truth. Not thrilled about
his truth.
About the idea, his truth of what happened with the backstage stuff.
But wait, haven't the I've just switched my aircon on in the background. Hopefully, it won't disturb people too much. But haven't like. I don't feel that this needs to be revisited.
Well, apparently it's just dropping today or tomorrow. He's also talking about how he doesn't like Hangman. Not too thrilled of working with Kenta yet because you stole his move. And Kenta's pissed about it. Probably wants to give you a receipt or something.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because I couldn't even use it for months. It's just like, but it's my move. I made that move.
Yeah.
What are you making me use a backhand slap for? Like. Anyway.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Apparently. Does he really need to establish, like, his truth in this situation? I mean, first off, get over yourself, CM Punk. You're not a fucking rape victim.
He also said in this thing on Dynamite that, I'm going to have a live mic in my hand and I don't know what I'm going to say until I say it. What's he going to do? Stick it up his arse, because it's the same shit that comes out of his mouth. So.
Well, exactly. It's like, first off, why is he entitled to tell his side of the story? Nobody else has gone out of their way to tell their side of the story. Like, I mean, as far as I'm aware, the Elite have been pretty professional about this overall.
Yeah.
Like, the only people who have told any kind of narrative about what happened backstage is CM Punk's guys and then just random witnesses like QT Marshall who have gone out and said, no, that was bullshit.
Pretty much, yeah. So Ace Steel, apparently he's working back with the company.
Yeah, of course, Ace Steel was... Ace Steel had been working with him, working with them for a number of weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
On the down low.
Yeah, apparently from working from home remotely. Don't know what he was doing remotely, but yeah, apparently he's back.
Well, whatever floats your boat is all I can say about that. But I'm not too excited about having CM Punk back. I don't feel that his bell-to-bell in-ring stuff lives up to the hype at the moment. I don't feel that his attitude off TV is particularly conducive to the functioning of a good good functioning of a company. It feels a lot more political with him about, and
will he bring the ratings? Will he bring the ticket sales back up? Obviously not in the moment, but
yeah, I mean, that's the question. But, I mean, if he were to bring that up, then that would mean it'd need to be on both shows.
Yeah, of course.
Which I could see Tony Khan going for, but I can't necessarily see all of his talent going for. But I definitely... I don't feel that CM Punk is a good future for AEW at all.
Maybe it's like bringing Hulk Hogan and Larry Bischoff into TNA. And it's just going to burn the whole thing down.
That's kind of the feeling that I get with it. Every time he appears.
Just going to go to work to burn it down.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's all I've got to say on Punk.
Any other topics you can think of?
Yeah. BJ Whitmore has recently been fired from AEW.
BJ Whitmore?
Yeah, so he was a producer backstage. Wrestled in ROH. Tag team with... That name's completely gone out of my head.
Samoa Joe, wasn't he?
Jimmy Jacobs.
Jimmy Jacobs. Okay. Yeah.
For a while, so basically he got arrested for strangulation and robbery. He got fired immediately, and they've actually replaced him with Jimmy Jacobs. He was working in Impact.
Yeah.
He's left there immediately and joined AEW as the producer.
Well, yeah, it does seem that I think there's also domestic violence charges that were involved in this story as well, which is another reason why this response may have been so quick. AEW don't like looking unwoke at all, and I can see why they would act quickly in that situation. I think when you compare their scandals with WWE scandals, it's usually AEW who handle them better, and I think in this case definitely requires a sacking.
Of course, yeah.
There's not anything else you can do with it, really.
Doesn't
really
come back from, is it? It's like...
Nah.
It's pretty fucked up to do that kind of shit, but yeah. That's what's happening in the world of AEW. WWE apparently they've signed Carlito to a full-time deal.
This is the news that just came through today, that Carlito has been signed by WWE. I mean, I've not seen full-time deal yet, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it won't be. That's just more kind of, I've just not
on
seen
on the grapevine. He's cancelled his independent booking with Great North Wrestling, and he was telling that promoter, apparently, that he's re-signed with WWE, so I would imagine it would be full time. Join the LWO, kind of, which could be an interesting spin because he could obviously turn them all heel. It's Carlito.
Yeah, he could potentially turn them more heel. Obviously,
well, right, of course.
Yeah, and it kind of brings it to the and brings it into an interesting area as well with the whole bloodline thing as well. Because eventually LWO could throw him out, and then he could feud with Edge, for instance, and it could be the two people who were cast out by their teams, fighting each other in classic SmackDown 2007 kind of feel.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, go back to the bloodline. They started giving Roman Reigns an out. They're saying in the storyline they're starting to plant that it's all been Paul Heyman. He's the one that changed Roman Reigns. He's the cancer. He's the one that he's cutting out. Once you cut him out, Roman Reigns will be a face again. That's where they're going. Okay. That's where they're going with it.
That's a bit... That, I feel, would probably be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but that's how they're doing it. It would seem... it was like...
Well,
so Jimmy had a match with Austin Theory. Roman pulled the strings, got him a match for the US title.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn spoke to him, said this, that, and the other about Roman Reigns and how he's great. But when Paul Heyman gets into his ear, when Paul Heyman does this, that's when he switches. That's when he becomes the manipulator. This is when he becomes the bad guy.
Right, okay.
So they're kind of planting that seed. And they said, and Jimmy said to Paul Heyman, well, if I'm in the bloodline, then you're out. So they're already throwing that in there.
Well, I feel that that's a bad idea. I feel that having Roman Reigns turn face again would be a big mistake.
It's a cop-out.
Absolute cop-out. Especially considering how irredeemable Roman Reigns has been as a heel. And I feel that they could very much end up in a situation that they were already in, where they have Roman Reigns as a face and everyone booing him. Unless they try and go the way of The Rock with him, and he keeps the attitude, but he just doesn't be a dick about it, which was how The Rock turned face. That could potentially save him, but definitely if we're going back to the post-Shield, smiley, happy wave at the fans, why aren't I getting over Roman Reigns?
I don't think
look
you can go back
my
to
hair
that,
is. I think that would be a massive mistake, and it just didn't work then. It wouldn't work again in the future, and I would say that it would be a big mistake to undo some of the character work that Roman Reigns has done, becoming this monster heel, because people are paying to boo him now, whereas before people were... Or cheer him, yeah. He does have some fans who are just so in awe of his ability to tell a story in the ring now that they go there and cheer him. He is in that kind of tweener kind of bracket in some places, definitely. So it just kind of feels a bit... I feel that you're risking a lot trying to make him a babyface. So what? So you can sell a different type of merch? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make much sense to me, because obviously Bloodline merch still sells, and it's still some of the best-selling stuff there.
Well, yeah.
So I just don't know why they'd do that.
Well, I mean, with Roman out, then the Bloodline can all be a happy family again, can't they? And then the merch will still sell.
True. I mean, it would run the risk of turning them into the New Day, but then, the majority of the Bloodline have turned face at this stage. Just not when they're with Roman.
Well, I mean, it's all a bit tweenery at the moment, because Jimmy don't know what he's doing. Jay doesn't know what he's doing, sorry. This is all Jay, not Jimmy. Got him confused. So the right-hand man, Jay, was the one in the US title match. He got kicked in the face by Jimmy. Get the right person.
Yeah, definitely very important if you ever go drinking with the Usos, because you want to make sure you don't get your designated driver confused.
Probably not allowed to drive anymore. Jay's the one. Like, am I in the bloodline now? Am I with my brother? I don't know. I'm confused again. I'm conflicted. So he's all conflicted again. So he's doing the conflicted thing. So he needs to make up his mind again.
It does seem like his number one character trait is conflicted.
Tribal chief.
That's a, it's an interesting dynamic. Obviously, the tribal chief concept's probably going to be with Roman for a long time. At the same time, though, let's be honest here. WWE know that they have a limited time to use Roman Reigns. You know, he's not necessarily going to still be doing this like Sting when he's 64. At some point, I hate to say this, but at some point there is the potential that Roman Reigns could have another health problem, and that could reduce the amount of time that they'd be able to. So they're obviously going to want to pump him for all he's got in regards to you know, his available on screen time.
Well, he does have but eventually aspirations to become an actor, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting situation, and I could very well see one of I could very well see Jay taking that role, you know, and doing quite well with it. I mean, he'll never be a Roman Reigns, but I could see him as an upper kind of an upper card babyface version of that, who's actually over. I think that could work very well.
Yeah,
especially when we do get to that inevitable point where Roman Reigns turns around to WWE and says, "I've made my money. I can't continue to risk my health in this way. Well, not risk my health, but I can't continue to gamble, you know, in this way when I could be doing work that's safer, given my pre-existing health conditions." That'd just be my thoughts.
And maybe that is what he's thinking.
A ticking clock for him. Yeah, that's definitely what I'd be thinking if I was in that position. I would be thinking this is a very kind of risky thing to be doing, you know, and my health insurance is going to go up, you know, as long as I'm doing it. I've made shitloads of money. They're going to be selling Roman Reigns and Bloodline merch for the next 10 years, if Roman Reigns doesn't even fucking wrestle another day in his life. You know, and I imagine he's probably a bit beat up at this stage. He's probably got one or two niggling injuries, so.
He isn't wrestling enough for that.
Probably not, actually. That's probably why he's taking the back seat that he has.
But that was loud.
Then that was very loud. Yeah, thanks for that. And then you've got obviously the other angle of that is WWE, and they're obviously going to be trying to look for their next Roman Reigns at this stage. But I mean, could that be Cody?
Could it be Sting?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be Sting this time. Of course, we do have thoughts on Sting. Or at least you do. You were talking about them before we came on air.
I do.
Of course.
Just, you know, make a weird segue in Sting. So...
Yeah, I was like that was like the most unprofessional segue since the one you proposed earlier.
I was just like, hey, Sting, let's talk about that now. So obviously there was a segment last night with Jericho and Sting. The rumour has been going mental and saying possibly Sting's last match could be All In and it could be Jericho. And give Sting a massive crowd to bow out in because, well, he deserves it. I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, there was massive speculation that it could be Sting's retirement match first when they started selling the tickets, wasn't there?
Mm.
And that kind of fell by the wayside. I think... You've got a stadium of 65,000 people in it. This is going to be the closest to a definitive WrestleMania moment that Sting will ever have without Vince McMahon's ridiculous NWO versus DX booking just ruining it. So it could make a bit of sense.
Tony, mate, book it. You probably have. Just haven't announced it yet. You're going to have an announcement to, you know, talk about the announcement, and then another announcement. Talk about that first announcement, and then you'll do the announcement, and everyone will be like, we already know.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Speaking of which, I just wanted to mention that next week's show, there will be a special announcement from Tony Khan. So there you go. There you go. You're going to hear it here first.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to that, are you, Jay?
I am.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. I've no fucking idea what it's going to be.
Okay.
So, yeah, you won't tell me. So,
right.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that is going to be, there you go. So yeah, next week on JFabe.
And it all begins.
I don't know why. No, it's just going to be an announcement.
From Tony Khan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a fucking clue what it's going to be. And I literally just came up with that like 2 minutes ago. So there you go. Oh, dear me. Anything else we need to talk about?
I think my science is absolutely... No. No, I got nothing.
Cool.
Then.
You have been listening to JFabe. You listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on iTunes.
Overcast.
You can listen to us pretty much. Yeah. Overcast.
Podcast. Google and Apple.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you already know that because you listen to it.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. You can, of course, like reach us on Twitter. Please get us on Twitter. You'll hear all about all the latest episodes that are dropping. You get loads of witty banter from me. Actually, no, you won't. Twitter scares me to death.
Is this like, Surge doing Starman?
It is Surge doing Starman.
Okay.
From the album These Grey Men. So there you go.
Is that just like... Wait, Starman. Am I thinking of the right person? He's covering Bowie. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. He's covering Bowie. Yeah.
Rocket, like because Bowie. Rocket Man's Elton John.
Yes,
yeah.
Rocket Man is Elton John. Yeah. any closing thoughts, Jay?
That was my closing thought.
Oh, well. I mean, this still goes on for like a minute, but
right.
Yeah, no. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye, everybody. Bye, bye. Bye. See you later.
Stop recording.
I'm not gonna stop recording. I'm just gonna sit here. I'm actually waving. I don't know why I'm waving. Like, there's no camera here, and I'm just waving at my screen. like the credits are rolling over my face or some shit. I've only had one cider, and I am actually physically waving at my screen as I say bye. Wow.
You still doing it?
No, I stopped. Okay. I was embarrassed.
Nog's here.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you waving again?
No.